week before. Head game, chess gang, it's the same, you know. Niggas got high hopes, but they aim is low. Stay paid, never broke, that's a personal motto. When I say I run numbers, every verse is a lotto. Like coke in the 80s, I make the streets crazy. My name stay in the mouth of all the fly ladies. Cause I'm just a nigga who's on the mic. And when I rock the party right, it's your bitch's delight. You was welcome, so don't get mad, I'm really trying to help them. It's highly inappropriate, so cook, you gotta tell them. We pull up in your city, run your pockets for the stimmy. With bamboo knockers in my ears, say you gimme. It's easy, money dripping from me like it's greasy. Feeling like the coldest winter ever when you see me.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Highly Inappropriate. It's me, your host, Cook Simmons, and I'm joined this week by Shantae from the Single Simulcast podcast. Welcome, Shantae. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, what's up? What's
nigga, we made up? It.
Right? Right? Never would have made it.
Never would have. Oh, my God. Oh my goodness. So we had technical difficulty the first time. We're not going to talk that up. We are going to keep going because we made it. And listen.
That's right.
You can't hold Black women down. They can't hold us down. They can't stop us.
They try, but they can't.
Can't. We unstoppable. Stop. You heard me. Unstoppable. So it's June. It is still Pride Month. Interesting story out of DC. Did you see the footage of a young lady? There's a restaurant in DC on U Street. I've been there. And it's so funny. I was going through my memories on Facebook, like I always do, like what in the world was I into? And I have two posts from Nelly's Drag Brunch. And it was something I did with my then book club, The Divas Who Read. And I was like, oh my God, look at this room full of Black women. Because Black women love to brunch. So mm-hmm. Nelly's would have a brunch. And on the brunch was lunch. And they had bottomless mimosas and whatnot. I mean, it was cool. Right. And then you could see the performers. They had one headliner. She used to do Rihanna. Bitch better have my money. And when she would perform it, she would walk out into the street and stop traffic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Loved it. Showmanship, performance, drag, okay? Like, and it was hilarious. She did it, and it was like, you know, they had some, I really appreciated them because the majority of the performers at the time were African-American drag queens as well.
All right.
Which just, it was very, very, knowing that, it was very disturbing to see footage of a young lady being dragged down the steps.
I didn't see the video because I was like, oh, I'm not trying to find a video, but I did see like a still of it because I've seen people posting it on TikTok and talking about it because what I was seeing was videos of the protests that are outside the venue.
Oh yeah,
and everything.
Yeah. Watching it actually was very disturbing. I was very upset by it because that young lady, it was a man doing it, and I'm sorry, but no.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I was like, I don't care what she did. And I was so happy that the men in that bar, that man turned around, homie in the striped shirt, whoever you are, if I ever see you out, tap me on the shoulder because I'm buying you a drink, okay? Because he was like, I'm about to rock your shit. And he turned around and they proceeded to beat that man's ass after he dragged that girl down the steps like that.
Well, that's good. It's terrible that she got dragged down the steps, but yes, because you don't see that a lot. A lot of people, you know, for better or worse, will take a hands-off approach in mm-hmm. situations like that, whether they should or shouldn't. And so that's good that somebody jumps in.
And it's not lost on me that it was the gay men who were defending a Black woman. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. Like, not lost on me with that. Because if they were straight. Anyway, so when I started watching the protest footage, I was also happy too that they found footage of the woman that it happened to. And she was able to explain that she literally just walked in, just got inside, just paid her money, did the purse check, showed her ID, and walked inside. And as she's walking up the steps, she is then now dragged down the stairs.
Yep.
Because the someone else had snuck a bottle in the club, which, listen, I'm Rihanna to the bullshit. I'm walking out the club with everything that is not nailed down because that's just how I roll. But, you know, cups, ashtrays, if your salt and pepper shake is cute, they come home with me, babe. Sorry. Ramekins, all that. I be needing that, like, whatever. So, she was just like, she wasn't even with those people. She was just walking in. And this is what happens. And I'm like, and there it is. And they're like, well, how did they end up grabbing? She's like, I don't know. Like, they probably didn't even care. They just knew, oh, it's one of these Black girls or whatever. And I have to say, I'm disappointed with some of the white gays in DC. They can be very racist.
Sure.
It has been my experience. Like, I remember we went to the Devin Adu show, and, you know, I'm always going to see Devin, and we went to this after-hour spot, and it was a gay spot in DuPont Circle, or off, yeah, like DuPont or whatever, like, in that area. And I remember I was walking to the bathroom, and this guy, he hollers out, oh my God, call the police. And I'm like, right. And his friends were like, oh no, honey. Like, his friends immediately were like, bruh. And I was like, I know you weren't talking to me. Because I had on some Jordans, a skirt. I just came from the show. I was dancing, you know.
Right.
And so when I came back, his friend, I got walking by and overhearing the conversation, I chose to ignore it because I wanted to eat. Like, I'm not even going to get into it. But also, it did sound like his friends were dragging him enough where I didn't have to really say anything. They were like, no, you're racist. Like, that wasn't even cute. So I kept walking I already know I make just as much money, if not more, baby. So anyway, like, no, it's been my experience in DC. They can be very, 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 very racist. And we just, you know, don't nobody really see it for the white gays like that. They're losing their shit on some level. But what I'm disturbed by is that the dude who was dragging that girl, I believe he was Black, if I'm knowing what I'm looking at. And I just want to know, why y'all be working in these establishments and doing these types of jobs and y'all don't have no decorum about yourselves? Because some security guards do not know how to act.
Sure, they go above and beyond in the wrong kind of ways.
All because they're security. And it's like, because you need to stop. Now, there are some cool security guards. Like, it's been times... It's been times where I was, you know, cutting up in the club, if you will.
Okay.
And it's been times where the security is like, look, shawty, I don't even want to put my hands on you. So I'm going to tell you right now, cut it out. Like, bottle in hand. Whatever. Like, they was like, look, don't do it. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna chill. Well, it's done. I've been throwing it in the drunk tank a time or two, but I mean, you know, what's club life? What is life? Truth is, I'm tired. I get tired. And it seems to be what I want to see happen. I want more Black women. I want us to just protect our peace online. You know, block these people if you have to. Just start blocking them or unfollowing it, whatever. But no, I want to see us cultivating more peace in the next, for the rest of the year, you know, like letting that be the focus, because we've been through enough. We've done enough. We've carried enough. We've shouldered enough. We are enough. And if I have to get on here and say it every week, that's what I'm going to say. So if I can help one little Black girl not go through with the bullshit I went through, honey, and maybe have an easier time or a better go of it, yes. You are enough. And you don't got to tolerate nothing.
Agreed. Agreed.
We don't. We don't have to tolerate what they say, what they try to do. We don't have to tolerate none of these bananas in the tailpipe.
Yeah.
We don't. Go ahead.
And, you know, we shouldn't. And we should work on not letting people make us feel guilty when we set up a boundary. Because I think that's the other thing that gets people caught up, too. If you think to yourself, I want to stop this. I don't want to experience this anymore. And then here comes somebody saying, well, you shouldn't. Well, what about their feelings? All this different kind of stuff. And you become the negative person. It's like you're the one who's experiencing antagonism, but now you're the antagonist. And nobody wants to feel that way. So they do things to try to keep themselves from feeling that way, even though maybe creating the boundary is the thing that you need to do to go back to like what you said, to protect your peace.
Right. And the thing about it is, I'm so glad you brought that up because the gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before, and I'm going to say this to bring it all, tie it all into the larger point. I do feel like a lot of modern practices of communication and relationships are now just steeped in some form of abuse. Like, sure. The goal is to come out on top. And, you know, if that's at other people's expenses, meaning, you know, you have nothing to offer, but you're going out here selling it anyway, and then mm-hmm. actively not really doing anything to be anything about what you present yourself to be. So, yeah, it's a thing. With Black women, whenever we say anything, it's funny. We really are supposed to just sit there and take it. And sometimes that even comes from the same people who experience the same type of abuses we do in racism.
Sure.
And it's peace be the journey, babe. That's all I could do is just wish us peace, because I'd just be like, honey, we really, 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 I think Black women collectively deserve a whole song to just sit down. And whatever it looks like, a moment of silence, rest, girl, a sandwich, anything, whatever. We need that. So, yeah. You know, I was very sad to see that happen to that young lady. And I'm just glad that everybody showed up and is turning up. And I'm glad that they're protesting. I'm glad that they're raising their voice, and I'm glad that we're seeing action, because of all places, it's called Nelly Sports Bar, but it's very LGBTQIA. It is. I think the owners are gay. I think, most of the people who work there. Yeah. So for you to all be acting like this in your establishment, unacceptable. You know?
Yeah. I mean, especially what it sounds like the circumstance was, it's like, it's different if she's in there wilding out mm-hmm. or hurting people something like that. It's mm-hmm. just like, you know, there's still a way to take someone out of an establishment without it being what it was. you know, is without having this whole kind of dragging kind of thing. I mean, like they said that, like the video that I saw on TikTok, the dude, you know, the dude said that they had like her braids wrapped up in their hands. Yeah, like, how do you help? Yeah, it's like, how do you get anybody out by their hair? It doesn't make any sense.
And it was the way I'm mad I watched that video, and it was everywhere too, and I be what have you. Excuse me. It just pissed me off. It pissed me off. But let me pivot. It's kind of bringing the spirits down. I don't want to be down today. I'll be honest. A grand old time this weekend. I had an amazing weekend. It was my first weekend turning up.
All right.
Pinwheel popped off. Ooh, and I'm glad I did it. But let me tell you, I'm feeling every bit of 42. Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like you have a good time, and then you realize, like, I'm not 22 anymore. I don't, you know, I'm not popping up after the turn up, like everything is fine. I need some recovery days to kind of get it together.
Days, like, and that's the thing. I'm like, you got to pick your poison with me. Either we're turning up on Friday or Saturday, but there is no both. And the Sunday night turn up, that is sparingly on a holiday. Because somehow they're like, you know what? I go to a day party. Maybe we'll go to brunch on Sunday and I'll get the bottomless mimosas so we can turn it. But no, like party? Like, no. That's a lot. Oh man. But I mean, it's funny because your body is still on that clock where you wake up every day like the butt crack of dawn. I don't know if I do, because I'm an early riser. I'm a morning person, so I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna ride it out. But come afternoon, or, you know, if I don't get a nap by like 6 o'clock, it's long night. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, it's just sometimes it's time to go to bed and that's it. And it's so odd, because I think, you know, it's starting to hit me too at how sleepy I feel at earlier times than I used to, where I think to myself, I was like, I used to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Didn't even think about it. Didn't feel anything. And just go to sleep, maybe wake up, you know, 5 or 6 hours later and feel fine. And now it's just like, yo, I need every minute so I can be okay the next day. Every minute of sleep, every second of rest. But it's just, we getting older.
Yeah, it's funny because I think, especially being in the Papadopoulos, I would say I had a sedentary lifestyle in the office. Like, there a lot of sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And being active and getting up was something that I had to be conscientious enough to get up and do. Like, me and my coworkers would walk, you know, laps around the building sometimes, or whenever I took the metro, I'd take the steps instead of the escalator, or I'd walk up the escalator. And that was like my cardio.
Sure.
Just, you know, and I really don't have that now. And I noticed, like, I'm trying to keep my ass from dropping. And that's a task within itself. That is a whole task. I'm also noticing, because I'm not driving as much, my ankle was developing some condition from me constantly, you know, pressing the gas and the brake with my right foot.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, because I used to commute for like upwards of 2 hours a day. Actually 4 hours, like 2 hours there, 2 hours to get back. Like it used to be brutal sometimes. But yeah, now it's just tough, you know, working from home. It's just like a whole other set of issues, but the carpal tunnel is still like trying to creep in.
Sure.
And I'm trying to keep it at bay. Oh man. So you ready to get into some articles?
Sure.
Okay. So have you been hearing about the ransomware attacks that have been going on?
Well, I mean, there was a thing, what is it that it affected like the water or the gas or somebody's electricity, but they, but it was like the billing, like they turned shit off, but it was like their billing. So they was like, we're not going to give you any like free stuff. So, but that's what the problem was. So yeah, I heard about that.
Oh man. So I think the thing that's funny is that these stories are starting to come up because this isn't necessarily something that's new. It's actually been happening. And I believe it happened in the Metropolitan Police Department in DC. So I didn't get further into that because it was like a whole rabbit hole for like hackers and shit. And I was like, okay, chill girl, chill. But the Justice Department seized millions in ransoms paid by Colonial Pipeline. So the Justice Department announced that they successfully seized millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. And Colonial Pipeline, they are the latest victims of a ransom attack, a malware ransom attack, paid the cyber criminal group DarkSide following last month's ransom attack. And that led the pipeline to briefly shut down its operations, according to a seizure warrant unsealed Monday. So when they unsealed the warrant, we found out the real tea. So of course, you know, they recaptured the majority of the ransom that they paid to the DarkSide network in the wake of last month's attack. And the ransomware attacks are always unacceptable, but when they target critical infrastructure, we will spare no effort in our response. That's what Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco said at a news conference. So today we turn the tables on the DarkSide, she says, by going after the entire ecosystem that fuels ransomware and digital extortion attacks, including criminal proceeds in the form of digital currency. We will continue to use all of our tools and all of our resources to increase the cost and consequences of ransomware attacks and other cyber-enabled attacks. The Colonial Pipeline hack was carried out by the DarkSide actors. And at the time of the attack, President Biden said the hackers were based in Russia, but were not part of the Russian government. Colonial transports approximately 45% of all fuel consumed on the East Coast. So this totally affects me. And truth be told, gas prices are up sky high. Mm-hmm. The company was up and running within days, but the slowdown meant delays still remained in the aftermath of the attack. In May, the company admitted it paid million ransom in the $1 million ransom in Bitcoin cryptocurrency. We needed to do everything in our power to restart the system quickly and safely. The decision was made to pay the ransom. This decision was not made lightly, however, one that had to be made. Tens of millions of Americans rely on Colonial hospitals, emergency medical services, law enforcement agencies, fire departments, airports, truck drivers, and traveling public. Our focus remains on continued operation to safely deliver refined products to communities we serve. And the company's CEO last month in an interview that he authorized a payment of $4.3 million after the company learned of the attack because executives were not sure how long it might take to bring the pipeline back on. The full amount of the seizure from DOJ was 63.7 bitcoins valued at approximately 2.3. So they got like half of it big. But this is something that is really big because your average or typical utility company does not have the cybersecurity to prevent an attack.
Yeah, that's what that's what I've been reading, and they've been saying, like, even like small towns need to get their shit together. Yeah. Because they might become more of a target too. And so it makes me think about, like, the little, you know, rinky dink shit that we got going on here. It's just like, who's gonna, mm-hmm. you know, target them at some point and be like, oh, we're gonna turn y'all's water off, or what, you know, whatever the thing is.
Listen, they can do it. And the company, 9 times out of 10, may not even be able to fix it or bring it back online. So they just had to pay it. And now they can go back after the fact and stop it. But, like, yeah, these were some of the things that President Obama was trying to do, like trying to bring more of the infrastructure and Wi-Fi under the national infrastructure, because that's where it has rather sophisticated cybersecurity or security measures, a lot more heightened than what your typical state would have, because the federal government has no money.
Of course.
But of course, you know, the red states, now we don't need to get from it, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay,
of course. Okay. which is so silly, because that's really what it, you know, you get somebody who's smarter than these people say, yo, something's really fucked up, or something really fucked up could happen, maybe we should take care of this. And instead it's like you said, like, nah, we ain't gotta do shit, we got this under control, we know what we're doing, only for some fucked up shit to happen. Then they got to come around and probably pay way more than they would have if they just went ahead and did something preventative. Trust you know me, instead of having to be reactive.
They could have spent $2 million on infrastructure and within their company on cyber infrastructure, and yeah. I mean, like, but they ended up paying $4.3 million in ransom. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hey guys, that's a lot. And they almost got away with it if it wasn't for that pesky FBI, you know. But
I wonder how they got the money. Well, I mean, they clearly got the money, but it sounds like they got the money, or at least part of the money, but they mm-hmm. didn't get the people.
Right. Those people are probably still out there. And if they're really good hackers, of course they didn't get them. And of course they could be using they could be targeting specific places because of known vulnerabilities and sensitive mm-hmm. reports, because we don't know who or what the Trump administration was telling people when they were in there. So, yeah, I think it's just a big shit show waiting to happen. But at the end of the day, it ain't gonna be my fault. All I know is, this is why I'm saying, as a Black woman, this is why I think we should just go ahead and just, you know, pull the plug and divest now. It's not gonna get no better. I don't think we should be worried about saving anybody but ourselves at this point.
No, that's real though. It's like, you take care, I mean, at the very least, you take care of you know, your immediate mm-hmm. circle, whoever uh-huh. that is. That's and right. if it's other people kind of on the outside who you know that you can kind of build with and you know kind of have your back too, then mm-hmm. sure, you can do that. But like everybody, like every single person, like that whole I'm rooting for everybody Black thing, yep. like, no, you can't do that. Like, it's just... ideally it sounds great, mm-hmm. but it's too many instances of people who will throw you under the bus for mm-hmm. their benefit. So you mm-hmm. can't. You have to use discernment. You have to pay attention to who's yes. really rocking with you and who's not rocking with you. And if they're not rocking with you, you can just gently push them to the side if you're not the kind of person that's just like, yo, suck my dick. You know?
Hey.
You know? Exactly. Because that's the whole thing. Because that's, you know, that's like going back to what I said. Like, some people are scared to put up boundaries, but you can mm-hmm. gently say, I don't like this. Yeah. This doesn't make me feel good. I need you to go over here and I'm going to go over there and we're going to be cool. You know, everything doesn't have to be aggression, even though I'm kind of pro aggression. You want to know what the fuck is going on.
Because sometimes, but, you know, yeah, it. Listen, sometimes you just got to get your point across. And I'm stand on that one. On that, but continue. I'm loving yeah. where you're going with it.
But yeah, but that's it. You know, you pick. It's okay to pick and choose. You're not, especially as far as like Black women, because so much about being Black, being a Black woman is taking care of everybody. Yes. Is this, you know, it's that projection of you are supposed to be, you know, the whatever, you know, whether, you know, as a little girl, you know, you're supposed to take care of your siblings or your mom or your, you know, whoever the fuck it is. You get older, mm-hmm. you're supposed to take care of the younger, whoever. You get older, you the auntie, you the grandma, you the matriarch, you're supposed to take care of everybody. And so it's just like, you don't have to, you're not a bad person to decide that you're going to put yourself first. You're not selfish. There's nothing wrong with you. If you just decide, you know what, today's the day, I'm not going to pay this thing. I'm going to let the chips kind of fall where they may with that person, even though I care for them or whatever. It's just like, it's okay. It's okay.
Listen, it's like, I remember I used to get guilted when I was, when I was a young girl in my 20s, I was guilted for not having children.
Mm.
I was called selfish for not wanting to be, I was very much in my masculine energy at that time. I was very close to my dad and I had a lot of his mannerisms and a lot of his thinking was my thinking, and mm-hmm. you know, but I always looked at it. I mean, because he always told me, and I always clung to it. He was like, you know, if you be with somebody, you know, be with somebody who has a plan mm-hmm. and who can do something for you. Like, never leave a relationship with less than what you started with. So if you walk into a relationship on the bus with a bus pass, you should leave the relationship with a car, because he should be handling his business enough for you to be able to save his money. And, you know, either he gets you the car or you buy it yourself, one or the other. But no, I was just, he just, you know, always told me, I mean, pretty much, I feel like he was telling me, don't waste my time.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to be with somebody who's worth it. And for me, I was very ambitious and I wanted to have my education. I wanted to have a career, you know, that was my focus. And I remember just being very, well, a little defensive, because yes, I was called selfish. I was told I was mm-hmm. being selfish. I did not want to present my femininity or my perform femininity for the male gaze. I was so fucking ahead of my time.
For real.
I was like from the future or whatever. Like, now I think if I were in my 20s, no one would bat an eye at me. But then in the 90s, it was like a thing. Like, you mean, like, you know, like, oh, you gonna be bitter, you ain't gonna have nobody, you never, oh my.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very much how dare you.
Yeah, very much giving, very much. Okay, and even in the family, like going to Christmas and Thanksgiving, like, don't ask me what I'm doing. That's one thing, I never discuss any of my relationships with my family, because number one, like, it's not your business, and number two, I'm not interested in what the fuck you got going on. You know, I felt like it was this expectation that I would settle down and get married and do this, this and that. And it was like, no, I very much want to live my life and follow my own path. And no one says anything to me about it now. but, you know, I'm getting older now. And some of my priorities are changing and there's shifting going on, et cetera, et cetera. So the things that I didn't need before do appeal to me now.
Mm-hmm.
So really kind of processing that, what that means, what that's going to look like. So I'm looking forward to that. But I think Black women deserve those opportunities in life, you know, at milestones, like at 16, 18, 21, 25, 30, 35. Like, I feel like we should be able to have these moments, you know, of just deep reflection. And it's interesting because, yeah, it's causing me to readjust my boundaries. Like, there are some things that I probably would have let slide before, I can't let slide now.
Yeah.
You know, and then there are things that, you know, before were probably deal breakers. Now it's like, no, shit happens.
Right. And that's the thing. We need to be allowed, like you said, to experience that, to, you know, let our ideas about whatever be one way, when we're one, you know, when we're one age, have experiences. And then as we get older, maybe, you know, the shit changes. Maybe the shit stays the same. Maybe it doesn't, but we need to be allowed to have that. And people want Black women to be in a box and to not change and to not evolve. And almost like if she does kind of switch up or does something else, it's almost like an affront to them. You know, they act like how, you know, like back to that, like, how dare you not be the same person you were when you were in your 20s? And it's just like, yo, I'm, you know, I'm 40. Why would I be still the same chick that I was when I was in my 20s? It doesn't make any sense. Or why would I be the same person when I was, you know, if I was childless in my 20s, why would I be the same person that I am, you know, now as, you know, as a mother or whatever, you know, as somebody in a relationship, you know, I move one way when I'm out of a relationship, I move another way when I'm in a relationship. There's just all these different things that when it almost seems like when Black people do, when Black women do it and basically be human.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers act like, what the fuck you doing?
How dare you? You
even? Yeah.
Like, get back in your box, bitch, because I don't know what it is about Black women experiencing the fullness of herself, of life, of existence. It's like when we touch and taste and when we create our own worlds, it's something about it. And I believe, I don't know, maybe God is a Black woman. Nobody's fly enough to create any shit like this except us. We the only motherfuckers smart enough. We're too intricate for this. Can't nobody take us. But it's just like it kind of took me back, like, yeah. You know? So this will be interesting to see how the next 6 months play out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It'll be interesting. And I'm hoping that for us, I think we deserve to just kind of take a moment and really just, you know, figure it out. And whatever it looks like, that's what it's going to be. Because interestingly enough, like, there were things that I did not need romantically that I'm definitely going to have to require in the future. Mm-hmm. And that was very interesting for me to find out. Very interesting. So I don't know why I feel like opening up with you, but I'm not going to do this right now. This is not for the audience.
Okay, because I definitely, because I'm curious, and yet at the same time, it's just like, yo, if Cook want to, you know, say what those things are and get specific, cool. If Cook doesn't, that's cool too. For the same, you
know? We'll take it offline. But no, it's just like, yeah, no, but I've had so many epiphanies lately, like when you really sit down, like take your moment and just like, feel whatever it is going to be. There are a few things, but like that was one of the biggest shifts for me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, like that's it or whatever. And I'm excited, looking forward to seeing how all of this unfolds. But I'm telling you, life is better when you, it's just better when you are growing, in my opinion.
Sure.
It's not easy. There are many difficult things that we will face about ourselves and who we are, but we have to be courageous enough to really look in the mirror and decide, okay, we're gonna do something about it and stick to it. And there are so many times, there are some things that I can master pretty quickly. And then there's some things I'm just backsliding, like straight up. Like, oh, I thought I was ready. But you know, then, you know, you have your moments where you wanna go back and taste and see, then you get smacked again. And then you're like, okay, fine, I learned my lesson. So it's just like, all right. But yeah, it's really interesting. Just kind of like, I feel like now at this stage, the shifts are felt a lot deeper, or maybe it's just where I am, where it feels deeper this time versus before. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's very interesting nonetheless. You know what I mean? Like, nonetheless. Sure. So I was thinking back to a time and I was like, I wish I took my mental health serious back then. Because there were a lot of milestones that I went through. I struggled, but eventually I got there. But I wonder how much more simpler it would have been if I had got into, you know, doing my therapy the way I probably should have, or the way I should have. I think every Black child, when they get out of their parents' house, probably should go to some type of therapy.
You know what? And that's probably true. That's I mean, honestly, that's probably like collective, because even the best parent is going to do something out of pocket. They're just going to say something the wrong way. And that thing is going to be on that child kind of forever. You can try not to, but I mean, you're going to do something. It's going to happen. And it's really just a question of you as a child accepting that that should happen, and then trying to figure out a way to navigate that thing. And like you said, and it's probably is therapy. You need a neutral person to go through to talk about it. Cause I think sometimes people are just like, yo, I got my friends, I got my this, I got my that. And you know, and that's cool and that's good, because it's good to have a support system. But sometimes you do need like a professional to just hit them with all the stuff so they can also give you tools. Cause that's the other thing. It's like, it's great you got your family or your friends or whoever, but they don't always have the tools to give you the things to help you do the things with the information that you've given them or whatever. It's just like they don't have it.
Right. And also when you think about when you're reared as an African American child, we are like, there was so much that I was told growing up to stay on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. You know, even with just religion alone, I remember there was a time church was a lot. I remember having a fire and brimstone pastor when I was very, 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 very little.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I was constantly thinking every time I did something wrong, I knew I was going to hell. And I wish I had unpacked that sooner, because there was a lot of turmoil with just basic mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that you do have to unpack as an African-American child. And I think you should have the space to do that a lot. I remember I came home one time and I was questioning God, and my dad just wasn't having it. No, as a family, we believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm like, okay. Can't even have the conversation. Okay, great. So you've never questioned, okay, fine. But even though, you know, that's where I was then, I've come to my own conclusions. And that's the other thing. Like, I'll never forget, there was a guy at church and he asked me, he was like, why are you Baptist? And I was like, he's like, don't tell me what your mom and your daddy told you. Don't tell me, you know, because I don't want to hear none of that. He looked at me, he's like, why are you Baptist? Mm-hmm. And I had to really wrestle with that. And it was the first time that I was challenged as a young person. I had to have been maybe 13, 14 at the time. But we used to talk. That was a smart old man. He was smart. Ooh, smart people. And I remember, like, not very many people challenged me. See, he was old enough to challenge me and get away with it because he was older than my parents.
Oh, okay.
He was their elder. So, like, all my mama could do was just stand.
But that's cool, though, because like you saying that you were 13 or 14 years old, a lot of adults don't really care what a kid thinks, cares that they're even thinking in any kind of way. They just, they really just want obedience. So that's dope that you got to experience that from another adult. Cause so you, cause that's the other thing, you know, the whole thing with back to like the therapy and stuff, you go through your whole life and all the adults around you don't give a fuck about what you think. Then you got to go out into the world with that experience. And then it's hard for you to, it might be hard for you to say what you think. Cause you've been experiencing motherfuckers not giving a fuck. So you don't speak up for yourself or, you know, whatever the thing is. Or on the flip side, you might be more aggressive than you need to be because you've been experiencing somebody not listening to what you think. So you're constantly on the defensive, you know, like, rah, you know, and everything. So it's just, yeah, it's just, that's dope that somebody, that you had that experience at such a young age.
Right. And so here's the deal. When you become, like when you get to leave the nest, even when you're in the house, there are certain things that you see, you're like, that's just not for me, or I don't even really believe that, or I don't really agree with that. And you don't know how many times, like as kids, that's exactly, you know, maybe that's part of what the rebellion is about. But I do believe we should have, we should create more space for our children at younger ages to talk. You know what I mean? To have that. And we should be questioning or challenging them on how they think versus this is what I say and it goes. Now on some things, it's just like, this is just what it is. And it goes like, trash got to get taken out. You got to clean the room. We're not compromising on that. But I remember in my house, you know, it was funny. He was, my dad always said, Sunday morning is not an option. I don't care how drunk you get the night before, how long you club, you knew you was going to have to get up and go to church, so get up, let's go. And I'll go, and I'll go right to sleep. That way. Anyway. So find another story. Well, I think that's, you know, that's just where I'm at with it. I have all these ideas on what Black people should be doing as alternatives to trying to make white supremacy work for us. And that's just where I'm at with it. Let's just dismantle everything, please. Okay, so we're going to skip on over to Oklahoma. Where you are.
Yikes.
Hey, look, you knew it was some BS.
Like, it's just, it's really like, it's, there's nothing else that it's going to be. I know it's going to be some mess.
Listen. Do you know Kylie McLaughlin?
Is that like a country singer?
No.
Okay, then no. Okay.
She is a quote-unquote racist Oklahoma volleyball player, and she's suing the university for being cut from the team. Yeah. Did you hear, listen, did you hear the story about the judge who said that the teacher who refused to call the student by his pronouns could be reinstated, and then the school's going to appeal that decision, like he can't come back? Which I'm like, go that school.
Well, good for that school, because no, it's just...
Like, you can't respect someone's basic pronouns. Get the fuck over yourself.
Yeah, it's just needlessly, I mean, it's just needlessly antagonistic.
It's some bitch ass shit. It's straight up bitch assness. Yes.
Like, you clearly are daring somebody to do something back when you do some shit like that. And it's just, and then, you know, for you to be a teacher in a power position and you're gonna do that to a kid, that's just whack.
And you shouldn't be around kids. Nope.
Yeah.
You're harmful. Mm-hmm. Toxic. The toxic. So, sorry. Oops, that was my bonnet. I'm sorry.
But okay, the volleyball player, right? Like she, yeah. So she's suing her college, I guess.
Yeah, the University of Oklahoma.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, ain't that something?
Listen, so check this out. Check it out. A former volleyball player from the University of Oklahoma is suing her alma mater and ex-coaches for labeling her racist and consequently freezing her out of the team. Kylie McLaughlin, who was a standout player with Sooners All Big 12, holds conservative political views. She reportedly disagreed with her teammates on certain racially sensitive matters like George Floyd's death, with an Oscar-winning documentary 13th about Black prisoners being imprisoned disproportionately in the USA. And I'm just so curious, what is there to disagree about that shit, girl?
Right, that's what, what are you talking about?
how do you disagree with George Floyd? But I don't understand, he should be alive, that, and you disagree. Okay, all right, okay. Because I don't understand. You know, so McLaughlin's right-wing political beliefs led her to be alienated by the team members. Now her lawsuit implicates OU coach Lindsey Gray Walton and assistant coach Kyle Walton, who are being sued for $75,000 each. Although McLaughlin supports equality, social justice, and finds racism despicable, she disagreed with the woke culture and critical race theory advocated and practiced by two of her coaches who are in the defendant. Who are the defendants in this action, her lawsuit says.
Oh, wow. So she's clearly trying it. She's clearly trying it, even though what she experienced are social consequences. That's what happens. And that's what needs to happen with a lot of just regular run-of-the-mill white people. They need to experience not being able to kick it anymore. Because if you experience that you can't kick it anymore, you'll see that where you're at isn't really cool. Like if your friends don't want to invite you to the party because you want to talk out, you want to talk out of turn about wild shit, then maybe you don't get to kick it. Maybe you don't get the job. Maybe you don't get the thing. I think that's what always frustrates me when something happens, like people are like, you shouldn't cancel them. You shouldn't cancel them. It's just like, no, you should. They should experience the social consequence. They need this. They need to feel this. So maybe they won't do it again. Cause there's really nothing else. Saying racist shit isn't a crime. You're not going to go to jail. So there's really nothing that can happen except a social consequence. It needs, so they, maybe motherfuckers get ostracized, you get ostracized. Maybe you shouldn't be racist. I don't know what to tell you.
Listen, the thing about it, you're on a team and you're on this team and you're looking at your teammates in the face saying, I don't give a fuck about none of the shit that affects you.
Right.
Oh, you believe in social and equality and blah, 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 meaning you believe in white feminism. As long as no one discriminates against you, sis, you're cool. But other people experiencing it, why the fuck should I care? Whatever. You disagree with the 13th? You disagree with, and it sounds like they tried to have an honest conversation with you about your views, and you decided to just die on your hill.
Yep.
Probably. They collectively probably decided it'd be best to find someone who can play just as good as you, but with a better attitude.
Yep.
Someone see, that's more the other, comfortable being around in the locker room.
Because that's the other thing. I bet that she probably couldn't keep those conservative views to herself. Because that's the other thing. You can hold whatever views you want to, but you also should shut the fuck up. Because people don't always want to hear that shit. And you should have the social etiquette, to know what to read the room and not bring that shit up. But that's when you want to bring the shit up and now nobody wants to play the game with you. That's how it goes. I mean, that's life. That's like little kids. If you playing with another little kid and the little kid is poking you and poking you and poking you and poking you, you're not going to play with that little kid anymore. It's just like somehow, oh my God, this woke culture. It's like, no, this is life.
Right.
You know, it's not woke.
Right. No.
Like, you wouldn't tolerate somebody calling your mama a bitch every single day, but somehow somebody's supposed to, because that would make you feel bad. This ain't mm-hmm. shit that you're doing makes people feel bad. Get it.
It's just like, no one has to tolerate your bullshit. And that's all that it is. Like, given everything that's been happening and everything that's going on, you can no longer deny that white supremacy exists.
For real.
Like you can't deny it anymore.
Like from the bottom to the top. Like, it's just, you throw a rock and it's just like, oh man, did you know why this thing is this thing?
It's well,
white people didn't want black people to have it, you know?
Yeah, right. Like, black people weren't allowed to do it, so they built this way to go around to do it. When black people could do it, they built this wall, and now, you know, it's a barrier. Like, seriously, truly. Even the highway is racist.
The simplest thing, just the smallest thing, is just like, yeah, the way, you know, your town is set up, you know, why something is named a certain way, just all this mm-hmm. stuff is just, it's baked in.
Yep, it's
you know,
there.
But they lie and act like it's not. They just want to pretend that this shit is. I think that's the gaslight. It's just like, oh no.
They benefit from the pretending mm-hmm. and the lie. And that's the part that I think collectively niggas is over it. Like, nah, you benefit. And at this point, that's why for me, I'm like, look, segregation is on the table. I don't believe we should be forced to live with some people. And I don't believe mm-hmm. some people have to live with us. Because at this point, what I'm not going to tolerate is people being able to just come into my community and abuse me. Just simply sure. of the color of my skin. Or have policies that abuse me as a citizen because of the color of my skin. Had enough. And I don't know if it maybe if I start saying it, maybe it shakes the table enough. And I think more people start saying it. And we really sit down and think about it, because the truth is we have the opportunity to build the society that we want. The society does not have to look like this patriarchal structure. Shit. It doesn't have to look like a matriarchal structure. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck says we even need a structure? I believe we have everything we need. Why are we out here paying bills, y'all? Like, why? Who? Oh Lord, I'm tired, I'm over it, I'm ready to tap out. So back to this child. She has filed 5 other complaints in the lawsuit suing the school and coaches for the total of $375,000. Presently 22 years old, McLaughlin has been transferred to University of Mississippi for her final year, which I'm pretty sure she's very well liked down there. Hailing from Texas, she was named the Texas Gatorade Player of the Year in 2016. She was playing for Hebron High in Carlton, Texas at the time. And in her freshman season, she played for Oregon State University before being transferred to Oklahoma.
Oh, girl.
Oh, you're too racist for Oregon, girl. I don't know what to tell you.
But it's just like, she's just hitting like a lot of places. I mean, honestly, anywhere in America, she could possibly be motherfucking racist, but it's just like, oh shit, she was in Oregon? Yikes.
You know? Yikes. And they're hella racist out there. And the other thing is that her career reads like a player who sexually assaulted someone. Because it didn't say she transferred, she was before being transferred to Oklahoma, like she was sent to Oklahoma. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's something
who knows why they actually wrote it the way they wrote it, but saying being transferred, it definitely does. I mean, it sounds like, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody between, you know, I haven't ever heard of a transfer referred to in that way.
Right, it's like Father O'Shanigan was transferred to Jefferson Parish. Like, yeah, he's been transferred around to different parishes because he can't keep his hands to himself, or this player had a little trouble in, you know, on campus and they transferred him to. So yeah, like for her, like I'm pretty sure she's gone there. Like, yeah, no. Nah.
Yeah, she probably has a problem with boundaries or something. Yeah, and doesn't know how to, you know, keep it tight.
She looks a little racist. Razor thin lip racist, you know what I mean?
Wow. No, I mean, you know, for me, man, I mean, you know, I got a white husband, but for the most part, with white people, it's just like everybody's a suspect as far as I'm concerned.
He's the only white man you trust. Listen,
it's just like look man, everybody's a suspect, and it's really because it's because of what we've grown up in. It's like you watch television, you only got turned on TV for a little bit, and you see what the hierarchy is. It's like, look at all these white people, they got money, they got this, they got that, they're safe, they're this. You look and it's like, okay, who's the criminals in the shows? Is black people and all this different, you know, look at these, all they're uneducated, and you turn on, you know, news shows and all this different kind of stuff, and it's just, it's right there. And even when there's alternate points of view that might be critiquing it, there's still the other point of view that's just like, look, here's this thing, you know, this is how our world is. Listen. And so it's just like, why wouldn't you think this? Why wouldn't you have these kind of things in the back of your head? Not that you're, you know, running around like you got a hood on or something, but I mean, it's there. That's why, you know, it's just like everybody's a suspect unless you are actively working on your shit. If you out here just like, well, I can't possibly be racist, was like, yo, you got it. You think that, but you got it. You probably cross the street, you lock your door, all kinds of stuff.
Wow. Yeah, it just, whoo, child. It's just like you have to stay vigilant, and it's unfortunate. Only because I think the collective in white America, the responsibility does fall on them to dismantle this. And as you can see them going into all this critical race theory, you know, because they said, you know, during critical race theory discussions, she, you know, she disagreed. And I think that is interesting too, because we keep hearing critical race theory. All critical race theory is just being mindful that all these structures are steeped in white supremacy and that they're racist, inherently racist. That's it. So that maybe, yeah, you know, when the kids grow up, they'll do something about it. Or at least have that understanding and awareness that you are participating and engaging in white supremacy when you do this. So at least that way for me, I feel like, okay, yeah, I'd rather know who knows it, and they, you know, I'd rather have it that way.
Sure. But also, the thing with it, at least, was that like a Daily Oklahoman article? Was that like an Oklahoma article?
No, so I've been following Soledad O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
And she's been talking about how these states are passing legislation. It's a number of articles about it. Really, her and other journalists, because they're kind of calling out other journalists for not doing their due diligence, mm-hmm, and being ethical in how they're reporting. And we can see that now with the Bard memo. How he straight up lied and had all these publications telling the lie that, you know, the Mueller report didn't yield anything when it did. Exactly. So they're saying like all these states are passing legislation like you can't teach critical race theory, but really that's just another way for them to attack this 1619 project from being taught in schools. In addition to, if they would just simply ask people, because they're like 9 times out of 10 when you read the article and the context is used is incorrect. So they're not even following up with people like, well, what does critical race theory mean?
Right, because that's the thing. It's turning into a buzzword, a dog whistle. It's just like, because it's like, well, when they were talking about critical race theory, like with this volleyball girl, it's just like, motherfuckers don't talk about, like, they're not sitting down like talking about critical race theory. But I think, it sounds like they've applied talking about racial issues, mm-hmm, or racial situations, and they're applying it and just saying that's critical race theory, when it's just, that's not what it is.
Just everyday run-of-the-mill American supremacy. Hey, it's baked into everything. It's in there. Taste your sauce. It's in there. Like, it's in there. That racism aroma is just like
wafting.
Yes. Like, it's intoxicating for them. You know,
they do love it, man.
Just lean into it and own it.
You just like being mean. That's just like, you mean like, oh, I'm a good person. No, you're not.
Oh my gosh. Oh goodness. Yeah, so Let's unpack it. McLaughlin has been a star player for the University of Oklahoma volleyball team, where she helped the team reach the NCAA tournament in 2019. However, she alleges that there have been multiple instances where she had faced backlash and isolation due to her conservative political views. The incident sparked after the brutal murder of George Floyd in May 2020 by Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin. The OU volleyball team, which comprises of both white and African-American players, held discussions about social justice and white privilege following the countrywide Black Lives Matter movement. McLaughlin claims that they were made to watch the documentary 13th at the time. After watching the Oscar-winning documentary by Ava DuVernay, McLaughlin reportedly criticized the film for targeting Donald Trump and dubbed it as left-wing. She also added that Black Americans are disproportionately incarcerated, mostly for marijuana and drugs. Her remarks did not sit well with one of her Black teammates, who termed her comments as racist. Cassettes.
I mean.
It's ignorant too, bitch. Damn. Like,
but that's like, oh man. Like,
she's suing because they hurt her feelings by not being her friend. Cause like, bitch, if that's what you think about Black people.
Yeah.
We're disproportionately incarcerated because of marijuana and drugs. Test that bitch, well, P2, while we at it.
Well, even that, it's just like, well, for one, we are disproportionately put in jail. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that's facts. It's
which the 13th documentary kind of illustrated.
But it's kind of like, but what that sound like, for her to bring that up, it almost sounds like, well, these motherfuckers be in jail, so what's, you know, I mean, I should think poorly of them because they be in jail, you know, like these niggas be doing crime, like, no, but see, that's what she gets, because she saw that documentary, she spoke her piece, and her teammates weren't feeling it, and that's what she gets. She want to speak out. I mean, because the whole thing with all these white people, it's just like, it's fine, you got your opinion, but if your opinion is grounded in like goofy shit, it's not even a good opinion. It's just like, oh well, they be going to jail, you know, oh man, mad at Donald Trump. It's like, how was he a good president? Like, you just rolling with him. He's a liar. He's not even a good businessman. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, he's whatever.
It's just like, you can't tell me. It's like you want to go up for somebody, but it's like, at least go up for somebody who
is smart.
You can't find article after article that this dude is out of pocket, that this dude is co-signing fuck shit, that this dude is co-signing racism. Like, what else are people, what leap are people supposed to make? If you co-sign racist motherfuckers, you must be racist, or at least you're okay with it. And really,
that's,
you
might racist be, within itself.
Right. It's like you are
being
unsafe.
Okay with racism. It's racist.
Like, it's like you are unsafe. If you interact with that's Black right. people, with other people of color, and you mm-hmm. tolerate racism, you think it's okay, safe. You are not safe.
That's right.
And that's just it.
Mm-hmm. Listen, that's exactly correct. Like, they were just like, not like, the minute you said it out your mouth, they was like, we can't fuck with you. Well, God only knows what you think of us.
Right.
Like, she showed her ass, but okay. In another incident, McLaughlin reportedly reacted with laughter emojis to a report that said University of Texas students wanted to replace the Eyes of Texas as a school spirit song, given its history of origin in minstrel shows. Her response drew a lot of criticism online from Texas and OU volleyball players. She insisted on the song not being racist. Later, OU coach Gray Walton allegedly ordered her to delete the post and apologize to the Texas women volleyball coach and players, claimed her lawsuit. Following the incidents, McLaughlin was told by coaches and administrators that she did not fit in with the culture of the team. They gave her the options of transferring, continuing on scholarship as a non-athletic student, or take a redshirt year. She opted for the last choice, and during her redshirt year, she was subjected to undergo 10 hours of diversity and inclusion training online. Her lawsuit accuses the university administrations and the coaches of violating her free speech and falsely branding her as racist and homophobic, which in turn affected her volleyball career. So sis, here's the deal. You are racist. I don't know about homophobic, but you racist.
Sure.
And you get what you get. You could have deleted the tweet. You could have deleted it. Because guess what? As a member of the OU sports and athletic team, yeah, babe, you know, if these were Black players talking about kneeling, you'd have told them to shut up and play the game, right? You offended Texas and Oklahoma volleyball players, and they asked you to delete it and just apologize. So you took the red shirt year, and you're now complaining because it messed up your career when you had a chance to just apologize and delete it and keep playing.
Yeah. Or you could have just left. Like
they did. Transferring was also on the table.
You could have went someplace else. As, you know what this other thing is too, and this is people think that just because they have an opinion, there should be no consequences for that opinion. That's what this is screaming out to me. It's like, okay, cool, you said what you said, you felt how you felt. But you want people like this whole like free speech thing. Nobody infringed on your free speech. You said the shit.
You were free to say it.
You posted it. Mm-hmm. And now people are free to respond. And it's like people think that the other part of it, the freedom to respond, is somehow not baked into this whole I can say what the fuck I want to say. You might get punched in the face for that shit. You might lose your job. You might lose your ability to play volleyball. And that's really, you know, that's what I noticed with white people, or just people who think they have the upper hand in a situation, that they think that they should be able to say what they want to say, and people shouldn't be able to react to that shit. Like somehow everybody is supposed to be stoic while they say really fuck shit, like just really ignorant shit. They shouldn't react to it. They shouldn't get mad. They shouldn't get sad. They shouldn't do anything. They should just let you spew your shit. Mm. And that's not reality.
It's just, these are white tears. These are white tears that do not want to take the consequences for their white actions. And I'm just at a loss on that one. Like, your teammates try to talk to you. Girl, you offended the Texas volleyball team. I hope they testify against her. All of them. Texas too. I hope they come. I hope they testify against her for the defense.
I just don't know what she's thinking. I don't understand people who think that they can just do what they want and somebody can't say anything back, and think that somehow, how dare you take my stuff away from me because I did this thing. Like, you think if the thing is so insignificant that you shouldn't experience anything behind it, maybe you shouldn't have said the shit. It wasn't worth speaking up for. You shouldn't say the shit. You should have just kept your mouth shut. Kept that little thought in your head.
In addition, aren't there Black women on the professional volleyball team?
More than likely. I mean, so at this point, yeah.
So why do you think you deserve to move up the ranks with that tweet still out there that you refuse to delete? Why do you think that any professional team would want you? There are Black women who play professional volleyball. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can get on the beach volleyball circuit. Who knows?
they think that people are supposed to tolerate them. And you know what? I mean, obviously there was probably a time when white thought was tolerated. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. It was tolerated. It was perfectly mm-hmm. fine for somebody to say something out the way to you, and you had to tighten up and you couldn't say anything back because there were real consequences for you as a Black person if you popped off or, you know, did something wrong to somebody white. But look, that's over in some respects. So you just gonna have to deal with it. And, you know, and it's not, and not all your little white friends co-sign your shit. You're gonna have to deal with that too.
Yeah, and I don't understand why you think you should be on the team. And I'm pretty sure everybody else on the team is getting along just fine. I'm pretty sure there were other white girls on the team who, you know, just would listen. Maybe sure. They did feel the way you did, but they were smart enough to shut the fuck up.
Like, that's really what, I mean, that's, I think that's what also kills me too about some of it is like, you don't even have the sense of self-preservation to not put yourself out there this way. Like, you think you're just supposed to be Teflon, like nothing's supposed to happen to you. And you don't, it's just like, do you not see what's happening? Like, do you not want these people to still be around you? Like, why would they be okay with you disparaging them?
Right.
Why? Yeah. Why?
Not to mention, I'm pretty sure, like, I mean, then she ended up in the University of Mississippi. So interestingly enough, they haven't put her out yet. But like I said, maybe she's in the right place now. But I just don't feel sorry for her. I don't feel sorry for her.
Yeah, definitely not.
At all. Like, it's just one of them things is like, oh, well, girl, maybe next time you learn to shut up.
For real. Shutting like, you played. Three. You played yourself.
Yep. Played yourself shouting. Anybody trying to hear all that shit? You just watched a documentary. You couldn't say something positive and productive. You had to say something nasty.
Like, yeah, okay. She probably been antagonistic this whole time, and they probably just kept it, you know, and it was probably cool, you know, because that's the other thing too, is there's so many people who say out the way stuff, but because we don't want, you know, we back to that whole thing with boundaries and shit, you know, we don't always want to just push people aside and reject them wholeheartedly. We hope that maybe they'll come around and all this different kind of stuff. And like, she probably was out, she probably had been out of pocket. And it finally came to a head with this, where like you couldn't talk yourself out of it anymore. You had to like really look her in the face and be like, she really feels this way about this shit. And this is what it is.
This is what it is. Like, okay, cool. You know? And I hope she loses, but I'm gonna follow this story. I want an update. I wanna know what they're gonna do with her. So here's the next one. Now this right here, let me tell you something. I locked the ass up too, because this was just unnecessary, but whatever. Texas mom poses as daughter, 13, for day at school to show security flaws. El Paso County Sheriff's Office deputies arrested a San Elizario woman on Friday, June 4th, after she was accused by the local school district of trespassing on school grounds, posing as a student. The woman reportedly spent an entire day at Garcia Enriquez Middle School posing as her 13-year-old daughter and documenting her experience online, as administrators and most teachers failed to notice. The woman was arrested and charged with criminal trespass and tampering with government records after the San Elizario Independent School District notified the sheriff's office about the incident. Deputies were also alerted to several videos taken by the woman documenting the incident. One of the videos is titled, "Going to Middle School is My 13-Year-Old Daughter, Middle School Edition." The 30-year-old from San Elizario, Texas, alleged in the aforementioned video that she was not busted by a teacher at her daughter's middle school until the seventh lesson of the day. The last teacher asked her to stay after class and confronted her. Garcia's experiment was caused by her fear of gun violence at her daughter's school. In the past few months, gun violence has seen several cases, be that of 6-year-old Aiden Leos, who was shot dead, or 9-year-old Trinity Odison Smith, who was shot dead while she was jumping on a trampoline. Another 2-year-old Florida girl was accidentally shot by her 3-year-old brother with a loaded gun that a family friend had hidden on a couch. As part of her YouTube records, Garcia created this account on May 19th and has only uploaded 5 videos. The first two deal with mukbang and the banana Sprite challenge, eating a banana and drinking Sprite without vomiting. What the fuck?
Okay.
The third video is the one mentioned above. The fourth is a follow-up titled Why I Pose as My 13-Year-Old Daughter, a raw but real answer. And the fifth is her confrontation with law enforcement authorities when deputies from the sheriff's office located Garcia at her residence and took her into custody. This video is titled Full Video of the Police Coming to My House. This bitch literally did this shit for clout. In the 6-minute long school clip, Garcia can be seen dressing up as her daughter in a hoodie, glasses, and face mask before allegedly sitting down in lessons in the lunch hall. In the video, Garcia said that she put on fake tanner and dyed her hair to better resemble her teen daughter. In the video, Garcia said that she spoke to a faculty member and then attended all of her daughter's classes in the follow-up video. She said, "We need better security at our schools. This is what I tried to prove. I didn't do this to get views. I didn't do this to get likes. I didn't do this so people would be mad at me and I can never walk around El Paso again." Girl. The teachers were so preoccupied about the students who were online that they weren't paying attention to the students who were there physically. I think the deal breaker for me was actually walking in and posing as a seventh grader. I mean, I'm no spring chicken, but it wasn't hard. There have been one too many mass shootings in schools, she said in the video following her arrest. That is disgusting to think of, that it all could have been prevented just by putting metal detectors and more security. Are you more concerned that I, a parent, was sitting next to your child, or do we really want to wait for the next person taking their Second Amendment right to the extreme? Garcia was initially booked into the El Paso County Detention Facility on the aforementioned two charges and for an unrelated traffic warrant. Triggered. Her bonds totaled $7,908 following the incident, San Elizario Independent School District Superintendent Dr. Jeannie Mesa Chavez said in a statement. While there was a breach in security by an individual associated as a parent with the school, we want to assure you that our security measures are being reviewed and evaluated. So here's my thing. If you were so worried about gun safety or mass shootings, why don't you do something about gun legislation?
Right.
Even though you live in Texas, girl, and no. I just think she's inspired a bunch of other fucking idiots to do some stupid. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, it's like what she's thinking. Like, if the school really does have questionable security, it makes sense for a parent to be concerned about that thing. However, it doesn't feel like questionable security is why mass shootings happen. It just doesn't, I mean, or at least school shootings.
It's not about the security.
It doesn't feel like it's the security. It feels like it's so many different things that are happening that isn't just about the fact that she could go in there and impersonate a 13-year-old kid. You know, and like you said, she could have taken up, you know, gun legislation. She could be talking about, all the different things that have to do with gun legislation, because that's where the mass shootings happen. Mm-hmm. You know, or the school shootings, that's one thing. Like, when it's an actual student doing something to another, you know, to other students, that's something else. But like the mass shootings, it's like people who shouldn't have guns get access to guns, people who are disgruntled about whatever, people who should be having, who should have more access to mental health, people who, you know, need to be, you know, in therapy about for their fucking, you know, like with the whole thing with El Paso, like the people when they actually go out and target specific races of people, you know, that's something, like, that's not the school security, you know, that's something else that needs to be addressed.
Right.
So I don't know what she was thinking.
She did not. It's not giving what it was supposed to have gave. It just, no, babe, no, I don't know. That's not why you did that. I don't buy it. No. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Need to figure out what else she did. Cause,
and where was the daughter?
Right.
Where was the daughter? Like, did she just, like, was the daughter was just like, okay, I'm not going to go to school today. And that's it. You know, I just, it seems like a very odd setup.
You're contributing to truancy. Yeah, just more charges is what she needs. Not here for that one. So this one pissed me off. This pissed me off. And I say, free this woman. We need to get her. We need to get her taken care of because it's unacceptable. 70-year-old getting PhD threatened with eviction after enrolling in online class. The Woodlands, motherfucking Texas. Betty Harper, still recovering from back surgery she had last fall, accompanied by a stroke she said she suffered earlier in the year. 70-year-old is refusing to let any of that slow her down, saying that she's just one class away from earning her PhD. You can do anything you put your mind to doing, said Harper. I always wanted my doctorate, and I had to wait until my children graduated from college and my grandchildren so I could help them. Finally, it was her turn. The retired special education teacher said she wanted to keep her mind active. 5 years ago, she enrolled in an online program through North Central University, working towards her goals slowly but diligently. I'm on the dean's list, said Harper with a sense of pride. Now, months before she is set to graduate, instead of celebrating a major milestone, she's worried about her housing. She told Eyewitness News she received a call from an employee at her apartment complex in the Woodlands area called Fawn Ridge Apartments. They called me and stated to me I had 30 days to move. The grandmother said a worker told her because she was a full-time student, she no longer qualified for her HUD housing assistance. And I said to her, I'm only taking one class. How can that be full-time? I'm only a part-time student, recalled Harper. ABC 13 tried to speak with employees at Fawn Ridge Apartments to clear what appears to be a misunderstanding, but they refused to comment. We also contacted the property management company Involve LLC, which is based in Alabama, but I have heard back. A legal expert said HUD housing does not allow for an entire unit to be occupied by full-time students. The restriction was put in place to avoid dormitory housing and doesn't appear to apply to this great-grandmother. If I was evicted at this point, I have no funds to move. ABC 13 will continue seeking answers for the future, Dr. Betty Harper. And I say, free Betty. Stop playing on Miss Betty. She ain't break. Stop playing. I think
she don't like some hater shit, man.
Fucking hateration. She don't like some
hater shit.
Definitely.
Like they clocking that she's, you know, in classes and stuff, and then just like, cause it's like, how do you even know? Unless she like, you know, unless like maybe she, you know, she speaks to somebody and like, oh, Miss Betty getting her PhD, and then somebody, you know, looks up whatever rules and shit, and now they're using those rules against her. I don't understand.
Yeah, that whatever it is they're doing, it's illegal. And I'm glad that she got the news involved and they're investigating, because and I'm going to follow up with this story and keep up with it because I want answers. Them people know that that lady is only, she's a part-time student.
Like, yeah, like just one, I mean, one class. That's part time.
But you
like,
know, white people act very different when it's Black people on social services, when it's them on social services.
This is so true, man. It's a wild thing when somehow, you know, they needed it. You know, they needed the assistance or whatever, but everybody else is like scamming it some kind of way, and it's up to them to make sure that nobody scams. It's just like, yo, y'all wildin'.
Yeah, I think they're doing her dirty and I don't like it at all. They need to free Miss Betty. On period. Child, now this right here, this one. I'm gonna save my commentary till afterward.
Okay.
Cause I really was just like, doggy. A woman in Wisconsin allegedly set her sleeping husband on fire, leaving him with severe injuries in a domestic violence related incident. Around 4 a.m., police responded to a Milwaukee home where they found a man suffering second and third degree burns. The victim told responding officers his wife, Tahansi Marie, that's a cute little name, Smith, who he has been in a relationship for over 8 years, had been acting strangely in recent months, according to a criminal complaint. The victim claimed Smith allegedly appeared to be over-medicating with her prescription drugs, and she had sprayed sp- spray paint in the basement, although he stated he wasn't sure if she was huffing its purpose. One of the fire, the day of the fire, the victim said he got off work at about 2:30 p.m. And when he arrived home, Smith was pacing around the house and refused to speak with him. He then said her weird behavior got worse later that night after he told her he was moving out. Investigators said after Smith's husband went to bed, she allegedly set him on fire, causing him horrific burns, including on his chest, face, neck, and ears. According to the criminal complaint, Smith allegedly told investigators she took prescription medication for mental health issues around 2 a.m. that night, and then later poured fluid lighter over her husband's head and lit it on fire. She denied she was trying to kill the victim. The complaint also states she allegedly told detectives she believed her husband had poisoned some chicken wings she had eaten earlier in the day. Smith now faces multiple charges ranging from arson to domestic abuse. I just want to say that more people need to start recognizing the signs of mental deterioration.
Sure.
Because I feel like he didn't take her serious.
That's very much a possibility. That is a possibility.
Yeah, because you tell her I'm leaving and then you go to bed. Nah, cuz. Nah, you wildin'. Especially if she's, you said she's pacing, she's in the basement, might be huffing. I'm not quite sure. And then sounds like there may be some hallucination or paranoia because she said she felt he poisoned her chicken wings earlier that day. So yeah, it sounds like she is having deterioration of some sort. And I don't know if jail is the right place for her.
Yeah, it's probably not. But see, I think the other thing too is that we just have poor mental health facility. Not necessarily facilities, but just like the ability to help somebody when they are having a mental health episode is really limited at this point. Like, it's hard to get somebody into the doctor. You know, different insurances don't take shit. Some people, you know, they got to drive like super duper far. They redistrict stuff. Like, I feel like that's something that happened here in Oklahoma, that they changed the configuration of what hospital takes this person, that person, whatever. And like, you don't know until something's wrong. And then they're like, yo, we can't take this person. They need to be over here, or there's not enough beds, or this or that, or they're waiting for somebody to actually harm somebody or themselves. And it's just like, yo, something's wrong with this person. Why do we have to wait until somebody's on the verge, you know, them or somebody else is on the verge of death before they get help? But yeah, that's a wild. I mean, listening to it, it's just like, yo, something is wrong with this woman. Something is wrong. She's pacing. It's just, you know, but you ready to bounce because you know something is wrong. But not enough to, you know, figure something out or reach out to somebody. So I don't know.
Wow. I just feel like this is sad, and I hope she gets help, but it just seems like this is also another reason why I feel like we should defund the police, because I believe mental health services should be way more readily available.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just so sad. Child, that was just so sad. So anywho, I want to say thank you for coming. I enjoyed you.
Yeah, we are going to talk. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Yes, definitely.
Now, I know your co-host has like 3 jobs and 50 new shows.
Yeah.
Every time I turn around, he's posting something he's doing. And I'm like, you go, boy, because the energy it takes to do these things. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, the homeboy Rashani, he's got like besides Single Simulcast, which I'm on, mm-hmm. where we, you know, talk about, you know, wild shit and just, you know, life and everything. You know, he's got Ratchet Book Club where he's doing urban fiction and mm-hmm. reading it out loud and discussing it. Then he's got Hindsight, where he's looking back with different guests, him and the homeboy Brandon are watching old movies and, you know, basically talking about, you know, whether those movies hold up now compared to, you know, then. And then he's on there with the Dream Team with the homeboy Jay and Scar. So yeah, like the single simulcast network got a whole bunch of shit going on, but I'm only on one of the show, and then I guest on different things at different times. But the homeboy Rashani, you know, he is like the thing that keeps it going, you know.
Indeed, shout out to him. He is a very hardworking guy, and I will probably call him and have him on here one day. But for now, thank you for coming. And other than Single Simulcast, is there anywhere else people can reach you?
Well, yeah, you can follow me across social media at Shantae Fabulous. That's Shantafabulous. God, I want to spell it like a rapper every single time. But it's Shantae Fabulous, fabulous like the regular word, not the rapper. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to see me, you know, talk some shit or, you know, goof off about K-pop or talk about tarot or whatever, that's where I'm at.
Awesome. I do follow you on most of your social media, so you are a wonderful follow. I'm always entertained, so
I appreciate it.
Yes. And as always, you can catch me, we have a highly inappropriate Facebook page that you can search and find me. You can also find me on Instagram at highly_inappropriate_spannet. That's highly_inappropriate_spannet. And I'm working on getting my new Twitter handle. The Cooking the Gooch, though, is where I'm at for now. And you can catch me on Span Network. You can also catch me on iTunes. Wait, no, not yet, but Spotify. And iTunes is coming, or Apple Podcasts, I'm sorry. So that should be coming up in the next week. And then I will be sending all that stuff out if you follow me on any of those platforms with new links coming soon. In the interim, keep listening, like, comment, share, subscribe. We fucks with you, all of it. So, Shantae, I want to say thank you again. And until the next time, hon. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. I didn't enjoy this. This was good.
Yeah. Me too.
All right. See you later.